The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is David Bowie, and you're listening to Jonah Radio.
If this is gonna be that kind of party, I'm gonna stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Move it! Oh. I hear just a little bit.
Ooh, you better
trip it down. Jane,
get off the cross, dude.
It gets a lot colder.
Hanging out with your friends.
I can strut around for you.
Valediction.
Understand, it's just fun.
In defense of Coldplay.
What do we know about partying or anything else?
Oh, Wuzzle the Weasel. It's Jonah Ray. Dio can't make it. Neil can't make it. He's driving somewhere on the East Coast in a rainstorm. He is sad. He is going to try and pop in if he can, but Cash Hartzell is here.
Yay, I'm Neil's backup.
That's right. So you're going to have to, what are you going to do to fill up the void of Neil? What's going to be some of the things you're going to add to your auvoir?
I do have a hat that's not a cowboy hat that I can put on.
Perfect.
I can sigh. I can go to the bathroom in the middle of the show.
Oh, can
I
you clear your throat really loud into the right? Great. Great.
Yeah.
Great. So no one's going to miss Neil.
Nope.
Our guest for today is an incredible, multifaceted artist. He is in the band Jukebox the Ghost, and also just put out a new book, which I left in the other room. Shit. I just didn't want to mess it up. But he has the name of the book is Maybe This Will Help.
I hope this helps.
Extremely I hope this close. Helps. See, I knew I was going to do that. But our guest, oh, thank you so much. Deanna just brought it. I hope
hey.
This helps. Comics and Cures for the 21st Century Panic by Tommy Siegel. Siegel?
Yeah.
Siegel.
Siegel. Right, like great. The bird.
Like Benny.
Like the bird. But this is like, people, maybe they don't know the name right away, Tommy Siegel. But once you see the comics that started off as a, and we're going to talk about the whole thing. But like once you see his style, you're going to go, oh, I've seen that. You know, I'm pretty sure the Fat Jew has, you know, ripped off, done screen grabs of your comics and acted as if they were his own. But it's very much that a lot of your stuff is like, I see kind of like, there's the repost of it all, but then there's also the people just doing the screen grab and posting it themselves as if they...
The curse of the internet illustrator.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's interesting hearing you say that even because, like, you know, I'm experiencing it as, like, a comics person just putting it online. But, like, I have no real conception of, like, how many people have seen various things because they're all on just social media abstractions, right? So it's, like, occasionally, like, something will go to the front page of Reddit and I'll be like, I think that means people saw it, but it's all an abstraction. You know what I mean?
And what's really great, because I didn't know this going in, it's like this book that you put out is such a fantastic collection of just your comics, which are really kind of, for the most part, it's like there's some panels, there's some kind of list kind of bits. So some of them are very Far Side in their simplicity.
Yeah.
And there's even, you have like, what do you call, like up on that 90s New Yorker cartoon bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
Whichever, like all one panel comics, or comic artists that I know, like, it's hard to shy away from that sometimes. There's even like our buddy does that, shit, I'm fucking blanking on his name, it's too early.
Eric Griffin.
Eric Griffin. but it's an incredible book, but it also tells the story of like how you got into doing these comics, where you came from through music, being in Jukebox of Ghosts for years, and then, but also it's like, it's, I also learned about algorithms and how internet creativity works, and just, and the way you write about just the madness of being, this is like a creative person's diary, essentially, with comics that you can kind of just flip through. It's a sit-down book, and it's a bathroom book at the same time.
Jonah, you just made like the best pitch for this book that I've ever possibly heard. thank you. Yeah, I mean, the book came, it was like, I basically did this crazy 500 days of comics challenge, which I had seen another comic artist, Branson Reese. He did this challenge.
Branson is great.
He's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Great artist. Great. The Dungeon Master. I listened to his
Rude Tales.
Rude Tales of Magic, which is a great podcast.
Yeah, it's awesome. But he did a daily challenge a couple of years ago, where he did one every day for 365 days, and I kind of was just watching it, going like, surely he's going to run out of steam, and are going to get worse and worse at some point. But I just kept noticing they were like getting better and better, and funnier and funnier. And I had always been a casual doodler, you know, mm-hmm. and had been into cartooning as a kid, but like I hadn't done it seriously. So when I saw him do that, I thought, you know, like what would happen if I tried to do like that exact same project? Like, would I finally start taking cartooning seriously? Would I have ideas? And it was,
is that what kind of kept you away from it for a while? Because, you know, you're in a band, and when you're on tour, you do have a lot of downtime. You know, my friend Tito, who is, you know, has done sound for Dawes and tons of, you know, bands over the years, Cage the Elephant. But he says people think touring is exciting, but what it really is just kind of sitting on an uncomfortable chair in a nondescript basement most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, you're a trucker in skinny jeans, you know, for most of the day. So. Yeah, it's a lot of driving. I think as growing up, I thought that touring was a lot of like, I just figured the bands got to the venue and just jammed on stage for hours. Like, I don't know what I thought happened. Like, you always hear about like, ooh, the sound check. You want to be there for the sound check. And then, I mean, you guys know, like the reality of the sound check is just like,
one.
Just
like,
yeah.
One.
Ta, ta, ta.
Two.
Ta. All right, can't hear the bass. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. No, dong. Yeah, it's yeah.
I think it's a cable.
Yeah.
I think it's the cable. Do you have another? All right, we'll get another cable.
Yeah. Can you stop? Can you stop? Can you? Yeah. And then the guy comes over.
All right, now we're gonna go with the bass. Can we hear the bass real quick?
It's not fun. It's a, you know, it's like, you know, and the tech checks. I mean, you know, I never did like when I was playing in bands, I never really had a lot of sound checks. But like we did a lot of like tech sound checks for the Mystery Science Theater tour. And it's just like, at a certain point, you're just like, can't.
Yeah. Which came first for you? Were you music first or were you comedy first?
Music first. I grew up playing in punk bands and stuff like that. And
cool.
Always kind of like still played and still like went to shows and whatnot. But, then kind of made the decision. I remember thinking I had to like make a definitive choice because there was at the time in my, like I was 20 and there was a band that wanted me to go on tour with them because they needed a replacement drummer. And, but then like I got booked at some, you know, at that time, like a coffee shop show in LA that was like really good. You know, there's one you wanted to be on. And I remember like, I was immediately, it's just like, well, I want to do that coffee shop show because that's, and I realized that's what I wanted to do more with my life. But you know, well, I still continue.
Yeah, I'm glad you still. Yeah. I mean, you can't call me out. It's fucking great. So.
Oh, thanks, man.
I loved it.
And it's funny because it's like, you know, once I got a MacBook, like when the first MacBooks came out, like in GarageBand, that like reignited. I was making songs constantly, but I just never really put them out. But you were, you know, you were a professional musician, and just doodling for fun, for kicks, right?
Yeah, kind of, I mean, I was almost doing it more as like a social media shtick for the, but exclusively for the band. So like, for years when we would go on tour, I would essentially like do a cartoon takeover of our social media accounts, and fans of the band would request cartoons, and I would draw them and then tweet it back to them or you know, post on Instagram or whatever. So they would be like, draw the band as Lego characters or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I was constantly doing these requests all the time. And as you guys know, like, social media is designed for like short bursts of visual ephemera. Mm-hmm. It's like not designed for music. It's like, which require like, you know, like headphones and like more than 5 seconds of attention.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. So engages more than your thumb. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we found that more than just posting about our music and the same five pictures of us playing our instruments, that we could get the word out about touring like better through cartoons, essentially, like as like a touring shtick. So that was like our way of beating the algorithm, like years and years ago, before we really knew what that was.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
That's incredible. Did it
uneven the band chemistry? Was like, well, yeah, he plays these instruments, but he's also the cartoonist. So he's got to like sit in the front and he's got to get to sleep early. He's like, hey, he's got to get up and do a cartoon tomorrow.
Well,
I wouldn't say it wasn't that big of a hit. So,
okay.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, because, you know, when you think about when the band Gorillaz talks about the band, like, you know, I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head.
Damien Albarn?
No, not Damien. The cartoonist. Cartoon. Yeah. Oh. The designer of the Gorillaz.
Right.
Like, it's like, he's considered a huge part of the band.
Yeah.
Because he came up with like all the designs. It was a collaboration between Albarn and that guy. And he was a part of the creative decisions of the band early on. And, you know, but it's at the same time, he doesn't have to show for sound check.
Well, I feel like maybe it's underrated at this point how great of an idea Gorillaz is.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, Gorillaz is a great idea. And then, of course, you know, Brendan Small did it again with Death Clock, where he's just like, yeah, right. I'll just, you know, I don't look like a metal guy, but how about I draw some that do?
No, he looks like a soccer guy.
Yeah. Highest selling death metal album of all time is Death Clock 1. Second most, Death Clock 2.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Good dude. But I want to play and I don't mean this to dismiss your band. I think I heard the name over the years, but I never checked it out. I had never really, I had to like, I found out about your comic and then I went back and listened to your stuff.
Right, totally.
And it's fine, because in the book you say, like, it's like, oh, we were a pop band. And I was like, pop band, what does that even mean at this point? And it's and listening to your stuff, it's very like it is pop, but in a rock, you know, in a like a kind of a, I don't want to say 70s rock, but like, you know, in a piano based rock, like what was considered pop music in the 70s, kind of an extension of that. There's elements of Elton John, Queen, and even like Ben Folds stuff in there. But with a more modern sensibility. Am I wrong to say those things?
No, totally. No, I think you nailed it. I mean, it's funny. We've been a band for 15 years, but we've had like this strange cult sort of following where we've been able to do our thing. But it's like either you've encountered us or you haven't. There's not a lot of that casual in between of like, oh, I think I've heard one song, you know. Like we never had that kind of moment. It's just been a lot of word of mouth. Kind of.
Yeah, that's when we had Ted Leo on. He talked about that kind of similar thing where it's like he's had his fans, like kind of like in the punk sense. Like there's the people that know him and like him, and maybe even came from when he was in Chisel and stuff like that. But like he never had the one thing to like pop him up. Like it's like Spoon had like, you know, maybe like it was like Cherry Bomb or whatever. Like they had that was the one song that started popping up and stuff. And then like, it's like, you know, these other, that to make them into the mainstream, to have that thing where they didn't have to start, they didn't have to work as hard.
Yeah. Yeah. We never had like a Future Islands moment where like, there was like a cool dance on Letterman, you know?
Yes. Yeah, oh, exactly. Man. And the thing
I just
is
watched that again. It's so cool.
It's crazy.
It's masterful.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But
it's strange to think about the memification of like the music world too.
Oh, know? Yeah.
And that's a huge thing that you talk about this too. It's like before bands used to compete, or at least musicians used to compete with other musicians for space and articles and reviews in, you know, Rolling Stone, Spin, you know, Pitchfork and stuff like that. But now that media is funneled through social media, like all media, it's like now you talk about this in the book. Now you don't only have to like go up against, you know, a new track from, I don't know. Like, it's like if the Get Up Kids are putting out a new album, like, it's like, you're not competing with that. You both are competing with like Kim Kardashian being seen at a Kanye show.
Yeah.
Right.
Or
coronavirus, you know,
or corona. Exactly. Or Trump, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yes.
You're constantly, it is very strange to like, I mean, I think a lot of people creators have had this experience in the last 4 years where you're like, you're leading up to a big release date and you have the thought of like, I hope Trump doesn't do something fucking insane today. Yeah. You know, yeah. I really want people to pay attention to my album coming out or whatever, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But I do want to, and it's one of those things too, when I was going to like look through your records, you had a live one. I was like, oh, I'm interested. And then you hear people screaming. Sounds like a large female fan base screaming for you guys. And it's one of those things where it's like, I had that same feeling of, being at a show where you don't really know the band, but there's like thousands of people surrounding you, maybe because you went with a friend or something like that, or maybe you knew the opening band. Yeah. And then there's thousands of people screaming along to every lyric and you're like, what? And then I was like, where have I been? You know, but that's what's great about, you know, music in general is that there are still always going to be pockets that you completely are blind of. And that it just, one little peek through that crack in the door and then it's a whole other place.
Absolutely.
But I want to play, it was like the name drew me in, but it was like also like a really fun song, but Black Hole for Mr. Peabody and Sherman. Is that?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
That's a fun song to me. I like that one a lot.
That's great. We wrote that for that Netflix show. On whim.
And it's just a fun show. I was also good. Like Getting Older is also a song that I really, really enjoyed, but this one like just popped for me and I think it's a fun listen. So we're going to listen to Black Hole. Yeah. For Mr. Peabody and Sherman for the show on Netflix. But Jukebox the Ghost, more Tommy Siegel and Cash Hartzell and less Neil Mahoney when we get back on Jonah Radio.
They're serious and mysterious and no one really knows just where they go. Even the speed of light cannot attempt to fight the power of the pull of the black hole. Nobody knows what's inside. What are they trying to hide?
Inside a black hole.
Black hole.
The socks your dryer eats.
Inside a black hole.
Black hole.
All of your baby teeth.
The change you left in the cushioned seat. You might be surprised to find that they're all inside of a black hole. Inside a black hole.
Black hole.
You cannot spy them with the human eye. And by the time you see when it's too late,
massive gravity and velocity that no one's ever managed to escape.
Nobody knows what's inside. What are they trying to hide? Inside a black hole.
Black hole.
The socks you're trying. Inside a black hole. Inside a black hole. Inside a black hole. Inside a black hole. Nobody knows what's inside. What are they trying to hide? Black hole. The socks are dry. Inside a black hole. Inside a black hole. Inside a black hole. Inside a black hole. Inside a black hole.
Black.
Whoops-a-doodle right there at the end. That was a Black Hole for Mr. Peabody and Sherman by Jukebox the Ghost. I forgot to turn off the crossfade option again on my Spotify, my gapless play. But no, for a fact, that's what I played it off of. So Tommy just made 0.98% of a cent off of that play.
You were talking about our fan base earlier, and something I had forgotten about in this live recording that is very funny to me is that, like, our fan base is like a lot of musical nerds, like, if that, like, especially,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
it's classically trained, like, people that, yes, like, you know, studied music a bit.
Yeah. And what I think is so funny is there's a modulation where the last chorus goes up a whole step. And you can hear the audience cheer, but yes, that's like not a thing that anybody would normally cheer for. I think that's so funny. They're like, modulations, yeah, full steps.
Oh my,
well,
that's
god, like when
that's,
you like,
hilarious,
listen to like a live jazz thing, and then it's like there's a thing, and then they like move into a different kind of like spot all at the same time, and then you just hear the people go, yeah, yeah, like you hear those old like jazz recordings from like the 50s, and you just, people like during certain changes, like, oh yeah.
Howard Kramer's got a thing, a comic friend of ours, about listening to jazz, and like the bassist does something and everybody laughs and he gets so angry about it. He's just like, that wasn't a joke. He didn't tell a joke. He just played
That's
a different bass line.
No, you're confusing two different comedians with their jazz jokes. That's a Paul F. Tompkins jazz joke.
Oh, I'm sorry, Paul.
Yeah, where it's like it's the notes they're not playing. You know, that's the Paul F. Tompkins joke. The Howard Kramer jazz joke is like, I don't like jazz because it just sounds like what's inside your head when you have a bunch of errands to do and you don't have enough time. Like, I got to go make it down to the DMV before they close. And all shit, and then I got to go pick up my friend from the...
Thank you, Jonah.
You're welcome.
And I'm sorry to both Howard and Paul.
Yes. But yeah, that song is it's great. It, like, it's very much like, for that song in particular, very much for fans of Jonathan Colton, Ben Folds.
Yeah. It's really
They Might Be
Giants
a little. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's like as They Might Be Giants as we've ever gone.
Yeah, it's very, very, very fun, very, very catchy. But that's the past. Looking at the present and the future, we're gonna do a segment that Cash likes to call.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's for Neil.
Music news!
That's right, Tommy. Oh boy, I don't know if you even bothered listening to an episode of the show before
Can't
you came on
me.
It.
Can't blame you.
But this is the time. Then you know. It's time for music news. Where we play Thin Lizzy and traverse the internet.
Things that are happening.
Yes. Recently, in an interview with NME, Butch Vig, who is, of course, most known as the drummer for Garbage, but also, did you know that Butch Vig was the producer of Nirvana's Nevermind?
I did not know that.
Yeah. But you did not know that, Cash? Is that right?
I did not know that. Okay. I thought Garbage was all English people.
No. Butch Vig.
I think of Butch Vig as like... in the way that like young children probably only know Paul Newman is a salad dressing guy, like I know Butch Vig more as a guy that a bunch of plugins I use is like,
oh, that's right, yeah,
those Butch Vig's Waves plugins.
That's right. That, yeah, exactly. It's like, did you know he actually never has to do another thing in his life, but chooses to continue to do things? Exactly. So he was talking to NME, and they asked, of course, about if Nevermind was released today, would it make the same kind of cultural impact? And he responded with, I think it would be tough to repeat that zeitgeist moment. It was perfect timing coming out when there was a shift in music and it felt like a revolution. I can see that happening again, but not in the same way. And he's right. There was a lot of, like, it's like in the book, Our Band Could Be Your Life, perfectly sets up what was going on in American underground music for Nirvana to, you know, get to the place where they would hit. Yeah. Like it was all these different bands. It was the entire like punk into the hardcore movement, into the alternative rock underground. And it like rose the levels and gotten, you know, big enough to where Nirvana could kind of come in. And I'm not saying they weren't a part of that movement, but it got to a spot where they were able to hit.
Yeah, they were on the staircase and they just happened to be the first ones up.
Yes, which is true. But like he says, maybe someone will come along with a band that's, who sounds like Nirvana, but a lyricist who writes like Bob Dylan and is into hip hop and doesn't have Instagram or Facebook, maybe they'll do a couple of shows and disappear. If they did, people would go mental because they'd want them all the more. If you know who that is, please call them. I want to produce them. But he says the closest thing that he's felt to it happening is, he says, I saw something similar with Billie Eilish. He's like, I'm friends with her and her brother, and their mom was my daughter's music teacher. They live down the street from us.
Wow.
But he says, Billie speaks for the whole generation of youth, much like Nirvana did with their Zeitgeist moment. And I'm all for that. I think Billie Eilish and Phineas do good work. I don't listen to it a lot, but I think they're good with their message. They're good with their tone. They're weird.
How connected are these kids though? Like they're next door neighbors with Butch Vig. Lance told us that he's known them for years.
Their mom, I think, she's a music teacher. She's in the music industry, but she's also just an LA hipster, I think.
Oh, okay. So they're just like kind of like they were just they live, sort of brought
and,
along.
And they're not silver. Next door. They're not next door neighbors with Butch Vig. They grew up in Highland Park. Like she went to Franklin High.
Oh, really?
Just down the street from me. Like I'm sure when he means they're down the street from me, he means he lives in a mansion in South Pasadena.
Yeah. Well, I live at the top of a hill, and all streets are down. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I can't imagine the like what we were saying before with Tommy, like everything's so niche like that. It's having one person to come out and have everyone rally around. I don't really think that can happen again. I think pop music will always kind of have that space for everybody to get into. But I don't know. I can't imagine it happening like that ever again.
Well, yeah, that's. Go ahead. Sorry, Tom.
No, hold on. I want someone who's not a musician to chime in.
It's all right. I'm not a comedian too, so I can get in on this.
I was just thinking about how it's just like interesting to think about the zeitgeist factors that involve somebody like Billie Eilish breaking through in an era like this when there's so much noise. And I think for me is that there's like, and maybe this is part of Nirvana too, but like there is shock value there. Like I remember the first time I heard Billie Eilish, like it felt like I was like hearing some whispered goth teenage diary, and I wasn't supposed to be listening to it. You know what I mean? Like it has that element of like it's a little scary in a good way.
Very much so. Yeah. And it does have that like it's just like this is weird, and I like that it was weird. Sometimes I don't like things that are weird. Weird. Like I never got into any of the horror metal, like the Slipknot, like and you know, even like the guys from like Korn and like Limp Bizkit, like the guitar player, like it's like they were weird, they were doing weird things, but it made me just like I think I hated the music so much that I was just like go fuck, you're weird, I don't give a shit, fucking tune up that bass, Korn. That's a bunch of loose strings flapping on a fucking pickup.
Cash, what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say that I think pop is kind of the only place that there is that. And it's definitely a sort of a false one, but like that way to burst through anymore. Like there is no modern rock radio anymore. It's like, I mean, is it K-Rock in LA?
No, K-Rock, they're not a rock. They're officially now an alternative.
Yeah.
An alternative station.
And
they don't say rock anymore.
There's 98.7, right?
98.7, yeah. That's like, that might as well be Jack FM at this point.
Yeah, it's everything's sort of like, occasionally you'll get a new song on that stuff, but it's still like Red Hot Chili Peppers and like just stuff that's been established. I think like pop, at least they'll put on like the new Ariana Grande album or the new Billie Eilish or something like that, but that it's so much more limited to what it was back in the day, where it's like Nirvana was on a ton of radio stations.
That's true.
When you put that song out and it was just built for that. There was an industry for it. Now the industry is sort of like narrowed so much. It's like, well, we can put out Journey remasters and we can put out Ariana Grande stuff. Everything else you have to do yourself, which I'm sure you guys are dealing with in Jukebox and with your solo
Jukebox
album.
The Ghost probably just had a meeting to go, how do we get some Latino skater to drink cranberry juice and sing along to one of our songs? Put it on TikTok.
Well, that's exactly it. Like, I'm not saying that, like, we have the songs that we associate with our emotions, and it's like we're kind of like, all right, we're good. Pop music's good, rock and roll's good, because we're that guy's gonna ride down the hill and he's gonna listen to a song from 45 years ago, and that's fine, and it's gonna shoot to the top of the charts. But like,
yeah, it's a weird
would that happen?
Well, it's a weird moment, I think, especially with coronavirus. I mean, oh, yeah. Before that, it was weird, but now it's super weird because you don't even have. How do I even put it? It's like I just put out a like my first solo record that I've ever done, like mm-hmm. like a couple months ago, and it sort of had this. It was liberating and terrifying knowing that I have the exact same ability to distribute and promote a record as Beyonce does right now. Like yeah. It's literally all just on the internet. Like, yeah. And you can't really do anything else. It's like, maybe you can bribe a bunch of TikTok stars to like, you know, do a booty dance to your song or something. But like,
yeah, but
beyond that, you just have your own social media.
Yeah. Sort of. And, yeah. And all of the media establishment, like if there was Rolling Stone wanted to write an article about you, they're going to go through your social media. It, like that's the way that.
Right.
You even have to engage with the media now is like, I have to control it all myself. It's just interesting.
Yeah. And back to what Tommy was saying too, about like the dangerousness that Billie Eilish seems to kind of make people feel. Recently, the Trump campaign was trying to do, they were trying to get a bunch of celebrities together to do a stand with Trump and defeat coronavirus kind of, it was called, the ads were going to be called Helping the President Help the Country. Oh. And they wanted, and there was a document that just got leaked about like the conversations about who they were going to reach out to. And apparently someone said Billie Eilish, but it was vetoed because, quote, not a Trump supporter. She's destroying our country and everything we care about.
Billie Eilish?
Yeah. And then the administration also refused to allow musicians like Jennifer Lopez, Christina Aguilera, Adam Levine, and Justin Timberlake to participate, using the rationale that all of them are liberals who support Obama or gay rights.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you want to know the
yeah, I want to know the approved ones, yeah.
10 celebrities to participate in the PSA program. Dennis Quaid.
Oh. Well, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's not Randy. I think that's what they probably said. That's the, it's like, can we at least not get Randy Quaid?
Trump wanted Randy, and they bargained down to Dennis.
Yeah, Star Wreckers. That's the hit song from Randy Quaid. gospel singer CeCe Winans, singer Mark Anthony, Hasidic singer Shulam Lemmer, Dr. Oz, Billy Ray Cyrus, Miranda Lambert, and Garth Brooks. And former basketball player Dwayne Wade and singer Enrique Iglesias. Wow. As Stereo Gum put it, what a weird list.
I don't understand how Dr. Oz?
Dr. Oz is a big conservative supporter, I believe.
Yeah. Right, but not a musician, right?
No, he's
a celebrity. Like my mom loves Dr. Oz. Okay. My mom loves Dr. Oz, but doesn't watch him anymore because she's like, he likes Trumpy, so I don't like Dr. Oz anymore.
I mean, he's like kind of, he verges on anti-vaxxer sort of, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. No, he's definitely wandered into it with the Daily Show, where he's got to fill 59 minutes of weird conspiracy theories. He wanders into it.
Yeah. I do want to play a part of a song real quick. Our friends over at 2 Minutes to Late Night did another one of their covers. They've been doing a lot of covers, and I just did their Patreon podcast, which was a lot of fun, where you basically go through your Spotify recent listens to, and you make a whole live, like, you know, festival, music festival.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But I'm gonna play a little bit of their cover. They did a Iron Maiden style cover of Dead Man's Party.
Ooh.
And it's I'm just gonna play a little bit of the beginning here.
I'm all dressed up. Dead man over my shoulder. I'm all dressed up with nowhere to go. Walking with a dead man over my shoulder.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah,
pretty, that's, got wow. some pipes there. Yeah, Neil's joining us now. Neil, this is Tommy. Tommy, this is Neil.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey, Neil.
Neil, that was a 2 minutes to late night rendition of Dead Man's Party by Oingo Boingo.
Oh, last week.
Nope. Just came out the other day. So
we talked about Oingo Boingo last week.
We did talk about Oingo Boingo.
We did talk about Oingo Boingo. Yes,
I'm working at Trader Joe's now, Tommy. And I had to explain all of Oingo Boingo and then all of Danny Elfman to my 25-year-old coworkers last week. Wow. Like, who does this song? And I was like, this is Oingo Boingo. And they're like, kind of sounds like the Batman. And I was like, oh, guys, come here.
Speaking of Danny Elfman, he recently put out his first solo single in quite a while because he signed to Anti/Epitaph Records.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he just did that. And then the single came out, I believe, today. And here's a bit of his song, Happy. This is his first release in a long time, solo style.
This isn't a cover of Happy.
No. He made it because he was supposed to play Coachella this year, and he kind of made it specifically for that.
I'm so happy.
Happy.
I'm so happy.
Happy.
I'm so happy.
I'm going to skip forward. Whoa. Skip forward a little more. It's like every single Danny Elfman thing came together.
Yeah, it really
like,
is.
There's Oingo Boingo stuff. There's and then all of a sudden, fucking the pumpkin guy from like
there's a little Sweeney Todd in there. Yeah.
What's this? What's this?
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a 4 minute and 35 second song. Here's the thing I realized listening to it the other night. Dead Man's Party, the original song, it's like 6 minutes plus. It's like 6:45 or something like that.
Well, you don't tell Boingo to cut it down.
Good song, but over 6 minutes, good?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's
your longest song?
I did put out one on a record that was like 12 minutes or something.
It's been nice having you, Tommy. Thank you so much. The book is out. It's called Something. Thank you so much. Click.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit when I've been an asshole in the past.
Yeah. don't stick with that. That is the opposite of Jonah Radio's motto.
I know this is an audio medium, but I do have to tell you, I think about this this comic of yours so much. It's the astronaut walking towards the rocket, and one of the people helping says, "Have a safe flight." And then the astronaut responds with, "You too." Then it shows the rocket going up, and then it shows him landing on the moon, and then it shows him standing on the moon going, "God, I'm such a fucking moron." you do have like a lot of that, like those like slight things that like anxious people are able to replay in their mind over and over again. You do such a good job of showing that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I think what I found early on with cartooning was like, I would try and do these big, broad things that I thought were, you know, going to really speak to people and people wouldn't really notice much. But that if I did something that was about one of my own personal paranoias or anxieties, that's when people were like, oh, that's so true. Like it's been weird discovering that everybody has an anxiety disorder, and that like if you just like openly talk about it, everyone's like, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Comedy's in the details, my friend.
Yeah, it very much is. We are going to take a break with a song real quick and an ad, and when we come back, there will be more Tommy Siegel, and with an added bonus, Neil Mahoney. We are going to play a quick song from a band that's starting to get attention, deservedly so, Soul Glow. It's Soul, S-O-U-L, and Glow is just G-L-O, but they are a very good hardcore band. Here's their song, 29. Real quick one, more radio when we get back.
Hey everybody, it's Cash. MeUndies believes that comfort is about more than what's touching your skin. It's about feeling comfortable in your skin. You're a total badass, and what you wear should only accentuate that fact. MeUndies truly believes in empowering self-expression. Their pledge for 2020 and beyond is called MeUndies Gives, an initiative that supports those who have systemic barriers to their self-expression. By shopping MeUndies, you support causes as LGBTQ plus communities, mental health and well-being, and women's rights. Let me ask you, what underwear are you wearing at this very moment? Do you feel like you're sitting in a heaven cloud? No? Should you reconsider? Well, here to tell you about sitting in a heaven cloud is MeUndies user and podcast impresario, Neil Mahoney. Neil, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. I don't frequently endorse any product unless I'm an actual user, and I am a MeUndies impresario. Like, I love it.
Yeah. What is it you love most about the undies? Is it the fit? Is it the bold style that you keep under your normally placid clothes? Is it like the party on the inside, the boring business meeting on the outside?
Is definitely on the outside, and it's a shitty party. But on the inside, it's even more restrained. It's I go black on black on black.
Okay.
I do black t-shirts, black underpants. I did a sea change. I got rid of every piece of underwear that I had. I brought in the MeUndies, and it's just like a regime change.
Wow.
It was great. It was like a junta or a
yeah, yeah, no, American soldiers living in palaces built for kings. It's yeah. Everybody's familiar with the post Desert Storm of it all. Well, MeUndies offers different prints, different colors, different styles. If you want to go black on black on black, like Mr. Mahoney, you can do that. Or you can go fully express yourself in your own unique way with things like hummingbirds or like Rolling Stones lips that have like vampire teeth, if that's your thing. All sorts of stuff. MeUndies are available in a range from sizes from extra small to 4XL. So it could be undies for you, or it could be undies for you and your neighbor, if you feel like doing that. MeUndies believes your butt deserves comfort inside and out.
Wait, what?
No, that is in the copy. Believes you and your butt deserve comfort inside and out. Well, which is why they created the MeUndies membership. It's really just a great way to love on yourself. Each month, replenish your basics with styles that are anything but basic. Styles that let you be the truest version of yourself right down to your core. Enjoy discounted pricing, controlled shipping, and exclusive early access. You know, you can get early access to underwear. Here it says, love your butt and get the membership.
I already love my butt, but I'm black on black on black. I don't need these special things. Like, I don't feel I have a deficient personality that I need to make up for with my designer underwear.
Well, that's the thing. MeUndies is not just underwear. It's socks. It's other apparel, accessories. You can do gift cards. If there's somebody in your life, you're like, I don't know a lot about you, but I do know your underwear stinks. So they've got face masks now. They've got gaiters. They've got tote bags. They've got things called buddy bands. It's all pretty cool.
What's a buddy band?
I don't. You know what? I'm going to click on it and I'm going to find out. Buddy bands. I think they're maybe for dogs, perhaps. Yeah. So it's
like bandanas.
If you want to match your underwear with your dog collar, you can do that with MeUndies. They got robes. I know you were excited. They even got onesies if you're looking for that, onesie party that I've never been invited to. So, but just for listeners of Jonah Radio, MeUndies has a great offer. Any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. You can get your 15% off your first order and free shipping. You go to MeUndies.com/Jonah. Neil, do you remember what I just said?
MeUndies.com/Jonah.
All right.
With an H.
With an H. And remember, not only is Neil Mahoney the president of Jonah Radio, he is also a client of MeUndies.
And I also eat trail mix and
All right, back to the show.
Woo!
Ay, caramba. This is Bart Simpson, dude. And you're listening to Jonah Radio.
Right on. Thank you, Neil and Cash, for that wonderful ad conversation. Mm-hmm. And that was Soul Glow, and I still haven't turned off the thing. I keep on forgetting to do that. But that's Soul Glow. It's great. Great hardcore band. Getting some attention. They just did a whole feature on them in the latest issue of a great punk zine called Razor Cake. Been around a long time.
Wow.
But it's, yeah. So anyway, we're here with Tommy, and we're talking about his book, I Hope This Helps, Comics and Cures for the 21st Century Panic. Something he did where he did 500 days in a row of a webcomic. And if you go to Tommy Siegel on Instagram, you can go through just all of them. And this is like just a collection of your favorite ones, right? Yeah, or did you lean towards... And you do talk about this a bit, like we didn't talk about like a little bit of it. Like, there's a difference between the ones that blew up and the ones that, like, are your favorites.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I tried to, like, when if one went really blew up, then I felt like I sort of had to include it in the book. But yeah, I tried to skew towards the ones that I really enjoyed. Unfortunately, a lot of them were brand. A lot of the ones I liked were making fun of brands and specific corporations. And so I did have to cut a lot from the book that I wanted to put in because of copyright reasons.
Oh, there you go. You got to do like the Band in America zine. That's just all of the like, Coke sucks. Oh, New York Stock Exchange. Boo.
Yeah.
I'm assuming those were your targets.
Yeah, edgy takes like, I don't like Coke. Yeah.
Yeah.
RC for me.
And like some of them really good social commentary, some very good about that the older millennial making fun of the younger millennial kind of stuff that we all fall into the trap of all the time, of like, you know, like look at them on their TikTok while we're scrolling through Twitter and Instagram, the judgment that comes with it. Also,
I really like your Candy Hearts as well. You say a
Candy
lot
Hearts
of those
was the ones that really blew up, but then real dumb ones like this. Where it's a leather daddy long legs, and I'll let the listeners trying to figure out what the joke is there. But check out the book and the music, of course. But on with more music news.
Before we go, I have a quick pitch. I know Tommy's there with his band. He said something about maybe doing some recording. Look, as America starts to open up, you're gonna have to play some outdoor venues.
Mm-hmm.
There is a petting zoo not too far from here. You guys do some acoustic covers, go by Juicebox the Goat, and I can get you a goat.
Not a bad pitch, Cash.
Yeah.
What's amazing is we actually have done stuff as Juicebox the Goat before.
Oh, really?
I don't know if that's what you're referencing, but
No, not at all.
We've totally done that.
Oh, that's awesome. Well,
yeah.
There's no good ideas left. I guess that's just.
Oh, no, wait. We did Juicebox the Toast.
Juicebox the Toast?
Yeah.
That's easier to get than a goat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. Well, if you need a goat, I can get you a goat.
So recently, Neil Young's older brother by 4 years, they call him Young Bob, put out his very first single. And Neil Young does some harmonica on it. Now I'm going to play you guys some of this, and my thoughts on it, or maybe he should have waited a little longer. Let's see here.
Okay, I'll just start.
There's Neil.
Hey, America.
There's young Bob.
Wow, he looks like him.
Give love a chance. Every generation has songs to sing. Let them sing, let them sing. All humanity has flags to fly. Fly them high, fly them high. Brothers and sisters of the light, shine it bright, shine it bright. Take up.
It almost sounds as if he's doing like a K Records Beat Happening. He almost sounds like Calvin Johnson from Beat Happening.
Yeah.
It does.
Is he against a green screen?
There's like, I think it's just the way the down. It's just the, yeah. So everyone's in there separately, but they composited everybody together.
Oh, wow.
In the video.
Oh, wow.
Yes. To keep safe, COVID protocols. It's got to be weird where you also like to make songs and then your brother is Neil Young and you sound like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the saddest one is, have you dug through Paul McCartney's son and gone down that hole?
No.
Okay. That's a worthwhile hole. Cause he's like,
what's his
name?
He's
kind of something McCartney. I'm trying to remember.
I'll just search McCartney in Spotify, and I'm sure it'll be really easy to find.
But no, it's interesting. Like he looks like, he kind of looks like his dad, but he's like this sort of begrudging, more under soft-spoken, low-energy version of that. Yeah. So, but they're always asking him, like, so what was it like to make this album with your dad? And he's like, it's all right. He's just so unenthused about his own music. It's really interesting.
He sounds like the goth character from IT Crowd. Yeah. Oh, it's all right.
It's all right.
Recently, they put out the trailer for Stardust, which is the David Bowie movie that's going to be coming out, featuring as the publicist Marc Maron.
Really?
Oh, my.
So here's a little bit of.
Hello.
Name?
David Bowie.
Hey.
12 singles, everyone a total failure, except Space Oddity. The record company finds the album too weird for the Yanks.
I need to be known. I need them to know me.
There's only one guy at Mercury who doesn't hate your new record with every bone in his body.
Rodney Bingenheimer.
David Bowie, I presume. Ron Oberman, Mercury Records.
Neil, you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait 3 seconds to just not be wrong.
I mean, I was right.
The movie
has it wrong.
They said it was a guy from Mercury Records.
Yeah.
He's the one that showed it to Rodney.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Does Jake Fogelmess play Rodney Bingenheimer?
Chicago, Philadelphia, yeah, that'd
New
be
York,
great.
And then out to L.A. But I think we can make it work.
So it's like a road trip.
One believer to change the world. And we got two. You believe in yourself,
I have heard that
you?
This movie, they did not get the rights to any of the songs.
The biggest star in America. This is a Queen family rock station, so keep it safe.
Tell me about the new album.
Well, what's it all about?
It's about the years I spent dressing in women's clothes and getting laid.
Going to be a fun one, seeing Mark get upset at musicians.
Yeah. He was so good at getting mad at wrestlers that it's, and this is actually a callback to earlier in his career where he got mad at musicians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It really says something. I don't know about you guys. The music movie I've watched the most in my life as like a musical biopic kind of movie is Walk Hard. And so now whenever I see any serious one, I'm waiting for like somebody to get sawed in half or.
That's what's tough about like Walk Hard was so good and took on all the tropes. And then like, it was like right after that was, I think Ray came out after Walk Hard, I think. Right. And they did all
right around the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it's like, oh, it's like all the whole thing of just, it's like, if you can't take it, you hit the road, Jack. Wait, say that one more time. Smash cut. Hit the road, Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm all for it. I love a good biopic. But like, it's like, I'm also like way more into rock docs now. That's why I'm really excited for Alex Winter's Zappa documentary. Cause that looks like it's going to be Really, really good. Zappa, someone who I don't really listen to the music or care for a lot of it, but find him fascinating as an artist.
The trailer for that is out now too.
It is, yes. Yes, exactly.
I tried Zappa a couple, at various different times, and I couldn't just never get through it. He's funny, though. Like, it's funny. I'll listen to it for the jokes, but not necessarily the music.
Yes. I'm a big Zappa
fan. Are you?
Full disclosure, yeah. So
I mean, that's the thing is, like, there are songs that I like, and I like, you know, like, some of the stuff you did with Captain Beefheart, but it's just, like, sometimes, like, the weird for weird's sake kind of, like, runs hard on me.
You got to find your door into Zappa, I think. For me, it was like the instrumental orchestral stuff from like the late 60s, early 70s. Mm. Hot Rats and Grand Wazoo, that stuff's amazing.
Yeah, here's a little bit of the trailer.
This is the number we always play when people ask us to play more, because we know that after we play this, they couldn't possibly ever want to hear us again.
We were loud, we were coarse, and we were strange.
He had so much talent. It defied everything.
You insist on very high and exacting standards.
I think if you shoot any lower than that, you're going to wind up with something sleazy.
Watch out where the Huskies go. Don't you eat that yellow snow.
He was just writing all the time. He wouldn't stop.
He heard things a particular way, and then he tried to manifest them in the world.
Each show was like a composition.
Yeah, he just kept on creating and was, like, recording, like, as far as I remember, the lore of it, like, recording tons and tons and tons of stuff, because, like, he knew he was dying. And so, and it's almost kind of that, I think, that Freddie Mercury thing too, where it's like, I better really just get everything down as much as I can, just to kind of leave something behind.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of early reviews of this documentary have provided a breakthrough for a lot of people. Alex has been good about retweeting, like, hey, I was a big Zappa fan, my wife hated him, and then she watched this documentary and she's like, I get it now. I was like, oh nice, cool.
That's fun.
Before we move too far from the Neil Young thing, I came across this on the internet a while ago, and I shared it with you guys. But we were talking about how my dad installed Neil Young's hot tub a couple of weeks back.
Several years back, but we spoke of it.
Decades ago.
Yeah, no. This was in the 70s, but that's also when the story takes place. I was on the internet. I was looking at anybody that mentioned Neil Young's ranch, which is not that far from Santa Cruz. And this story came up as from Graham Nash. Graham Nash was at Young's ranch just south of San Francisco when Young asked him if he wanted to hear something, that something would become Young's now famous 1972 Harvest album. Nash, of course, said yes and suggested going into Young's studio. That wasn't Young's plan. This is Graham Nash speaking. He said, get in the rowboat. I said, get in the rowboat? He said, yeah, we're going out in the middle of the lake. He has his entire house as the left speaker and his entire barn as the right speaker. And I heard Harvest coming out of these two incredibly large loudspeakers louder than hell. It was unbelievable. Elliot Mazur, who produced Neil, produced Harvest, came down to the shore of the lake and shouted out, how was that, Neil? I swear to God, Neil Young shouted back, more barn!
More barn.
I want to go up there and I want to listen to something on the fucking barn and stereo complex, but I need to find it. So that, look forward to that in the future, Jonah Radio. Me getting shot by Neil Young's caretakers.
Yeah, you just need to get in a boat from the other side of the lake and approach that way.
Yeah,
so you're not trespassing.
Maybe he's got like a screen up now. We can watch Netflix from the boat.
Tommy. What are you doing with, like, Jukebox of Ghosts? You guys are just kind of quarantining together to finish an album?
Yeah, we're COVID kind of spread us in different directions earlier in the year, but like, we were all living in New York and now we're all kind of all over the place, but we have reconvened and we have a quarantine bubble where we are working every day in a tiny little studio in Brooklyn, New York.
Nice.
Yeah, we built our own studio, so this is the first time we're self-producing and engineering a record from scratch.
Careful. Don't fold in on yourselves and put out. I don't know. Maybe that'll be the thing that breaks that. Maybe the 12-minute song will be the first that Jukebox of Ghosts makes. Will be the first one.
Hey, you know what? Radio DJs always need to take shits. So,
it is now time for
This Day in Rock History.
That's right.
I'm here to help you with your history report.
You guys are going to go back in time.
Wait. Yes, wait.
Oh, boy. Today, October 30th, in rock and music history, on October 30th, 1970, Elton John released his third studio album, Tumbleweed Connection.
Great album.
It's a very good album. Hot Legs made their live debut supporting the Moody Blues at Festival Hall, London.
Mm-hmm. Hot Legs. Hot Legs.
The members from the group went on to become 10cc.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Jim Morrison, in 1970, on this day, October 30th, was fined and sentenced to 6 months in jail after being found guilty of exposing himself during a gig in Miami.
I wonder if you could go online and find people that have been, that were at that show. You probably could. They're probably still online. They're probably voting for Trump. They're still in Florida.
Lock him up. And by him, I mean Jim Morrison.
I'm sure there's like a really great Deep Doors subreddit that you can go on and cool screen name.
As my friend Ron Benway refers to Jim Morrison, a drunk with a notebook. Guns N' Roses singer in 1990, Axl Rose, was released on $10,000 bail after being arrested for allegedly hitting a neighbor over the head with a bottle. The incident happened after a complaint to the police about loud music coming from the singer's house and screams of, give me some reggae.
That's, if your neighbor's with him, you got to know. You got to give him some reggae or else he's just not going to go inside.
I'm going to call the cops. Birthdays today. Eddie Holland, producer songwriter, wrote Motown hits for the Supremes, Four Tops, Marvin Gaye, Martha and the Vandellas, Freda Payne, chairman of the board. Eddie Holland was born on this day in 1939. Grace Slick from Jefferson Airplane, Starship, was born on this day. Otis Williams, born on this day in 1939. Chris Slade, drummer, who has played with AC/DC and Manfred Mann's Earth Band, was born on this day in 1946.
Who's Otis Williams?
Otis Williams? He was with the Temptations.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Neil.
And let's see what, I lost my place. I'm sorry about that. Joey Belladonna from Anthrax was born on this day in 1960. That's pretty fun. Jerry DeBorg, guitarist with English group Jesus Jones, with the hit song Right Here, Right Now. Real light on the news and stuff today.
Yeah.
Gavin Rosdell was born in 1967 on this day. Gavin Rosdell, whose ex-wife just married a country star.
Blake Shelton.
Yeah. Do you guys have any, in Jukebox of Ghosts, do you have any, like, anybody get married to anybody famous?
Anybody from The Voice?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
They're so famous, I can't even say.
I know, I get it. That NDA lifestyle, man.
NDA. Yeah. Tommy Walter, bassist and one of the songwriters for Eels, who have a new album out today called Earth to Dora, was born on this day in 1970. He's the big guy with the beard in that band. And of course, Canadian rapper Snow was born on this day in 1969. We all remember Snow from this song, Informer. We all remember Informer.
Informer, you don't sit down with me, I go there. I lick your bum down. You drink the mind is heavy, that is always down, that's over down to there. I lick your bum down.
Who is that covering it?
That is Frog Leap Studios.
It took a whole Anders
Ofdahl. I think they're just one of those, Anders Ofdahl.
Oh, okay, Swedish.
Yeah, it's covered by Leo Maura Caccioli.
Trader Joe's is currently running 90s hits, so I've heard that song about two times a day for the last 2 weeks.
I was listening to this hockey podcast. There's a couple Canadian guys on it, and that song came up, and he was like, everyone in Canada was so psyched that there was this guy who had like a chart-topping song in the U.S., and then Jim Carrey made fun of it on In Living Color with a song called Imposter.
Yeah, I was
and then everyone was like, oh fuck, we can't like that song anymore because Jim Carrey's better than that other guy.
Yeah,
he's also Canadian.
And Jim Carrey also, because he did that, and I think it was like the season before that was that he did the Vanilla Ice parody.
Yeah.
Oh God, I remember that.
Yeah. But all right. Well, that's it for the this day in music. Now, Tommy, is there a prediction of when this album's going to come out?
Don't really know. You know, I think a lot of bands are in the same boat right now as well. Whereas if you're not like a, you know, we
make your money touring.
Yeah, we make our money touring. So it's like we kind of want to put it out whenever we can do that. But then, you know, you hear Dr. Fauci like on the news the other day being like, oh, there will absolutely be live indoor concerts next year with masks and social distancing. And you're like, I don't know if there will be concerts then. But yeah, we're, you know, hopefully going to have more than enough for one record. We're hoping to even make two records right now because we've got such a big backlog of material. So nice. we'll figure out what to
not
do.
Not a double album though, right?
No, we are ethically opposed to double albums.
No melancholy, no infinite sadness.
Just say no to Gatefold.
Though Gatefold, I'm fine if it's for a single record because I do like.
Yeah, if you have that, all the art.
Yeah. More room for art. And it's again, the book is I Hope This Helps: Comics and Cures for 21st Century Panic by Tommy Siegel.
And what's the name of your solo album that you just put out?
It's just under my name, Tommy Siegel.
And what's your favorite song off of that? We'll end the episode with that.
Oh, cool.
Always you know, a I can do great
the one State of Affairs has the most listeners. But let's just see if that's the first track.
Let's do that one. Second track two.
Track two, that's right. That's out. We'll play that song. Jukebox the Ghost. Go check them out as well. The comic, and then on the social media at Tommy Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L.
Yeah.
Yeah, is the stuff.
Any relation to Bugsy?
I wish.
Yeah.
I wish. I've tried to become related to him, but couldn't pull off.
By marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah, by marriage. Just
marrying 85-year-old Goombas. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us, Tommy. I hope you had a good time.
Oh my God, thanks for having me. This has been so fun.
Great. Good to know. Real good to know.
Jesus.
And again, sorry I'm late. The Mustang can only go so fast.
Yeah, no, yes. I get it.
Neil's been driving a Mustang convertible around the East Coast during a beautiful time of year to do it.
I mean, Neil, you're in New York as well.
I'm in Baltimore.
Oh, you're in Baltimore. Okay, cool.
He's just on vacation.
I was in Connecticut last night and I was on Cape Cod before that. So yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, we should have had him come by. You guys could have done it together.
Yeah. And then next week we're going to be talking about top-down jams, like the perfect jams to play with the convertibles top-down. So if you are listening, send us your top-down jams, and we'll talk about them.
Oh, so it's not like top. Like
No. Put that back on.
My shirt off.
Put that back on.
No. Okay. That's tube. That'll be the following week. Tube top jams down.
Tarps off, jams down.
Yes. Yeah.
Just
exactly.
Two Left Crew songs over and over and again.
But everyone have a happy and safe Halloween. Be careful of the razor blades in the taffy.
Oh yeah, vote no on 22 if you're in California, please.
Please do. You know, vote no across the board. I'd say is the best way to do it. Who do you want for president? No. check out Tommy's book, check out Tommy's music, check out Tommy's tonsils.
Open wide.
Yeah, there they are. Ooh, they're good. They're good. But we're going to end with a song called State of Affairs off of, let's just look at the, okay, yeah, nothing's over, no 5 minute plus jams. That's good, Tommy. That's good.
Again, ethically opposed now. It's a dark part of my past.
I mean, we really locked into a groove. What if we just kept going? Because playing music is like is just as fun as listening sometimes. but this is State of Affairs off of Another Century Wasted, the delightful nihilistic optimism of Tommy Siegel, which you can find very much in his comics. And thanks for listening to Jonah Radio. Thank you so much for Dan Engler, our associate producer. Thanks, Neil, for making it. I appreciate that. I appreciate you. Cash, thanks for everything you do. And R, I'm a big fan. Big fan. And of course, the opening song, if you like that, is by Toys That Kill. The song is A Little Bit Stranger. And we will talk to you next week. Here's State of Affairs. Thank you so much. And I fixed the thing, so it's not going to fade into the next thing.
Listening to Jonah Radio in the USA now.